Hi, I'm Christy Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and I am Going Gray. This is the show about all the amazing, interesting, and creative people out there you aren't reading about in the headlines. I'm glad you're here. Before I get to today's guest, just a couple of quick things to tell you. Number one, thank you, all of you, for the weirdly large number of email I've gotten to let me know my website is down. That's actually on purpose. I didn't forget to pay the bill or something, although that can certainly happen. This is actually my website getting a complete makeover. A new look, new feel, new content, all that good stuff. So, yes, my website is down, but it will be back soon. And thank you, seriously, for your concern. You guys are really very sweet. And secondly, I just wanted to say that Going Gray is sponsored by Audible.com, the audiobook people. They have tons of books available for download. I mean, classics, current bestsellers, everything in between. Now, here's the really cool part. Audible is offering listeners of this podcast a month's membership for free. Okay? Did you hear that? Free. Plus a free audiobook download. I think that's a pretty sweet deal. All you have to do is go to www.audible.com/goinggray. So that's audible.com/goinggray, and you'll get the free offer. Okay, now, let's get to our guest. She's been waiting very patiently for me to finally be quiet so she can talk. We are joined today by Katie Connolly, president of Best Principles Solutions. She is also a writer and has just really a fascinating background. So I will let you hear it from her. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Christy. It's really a delight and an honor to be on your show. I appreciate it immensely.
Absolutely. And we can't wait to hear your story. So I'm just going to throw this out to you, and I'll let you take it from here. Talk a little bit first, if you don't mind, about your background. When you and I spoke earlier, you were telling me some really interesting things about your background and how it led you to do what you're doing now. So if you don't mind, start there and tell us a little bit about where you came from.
So where did I come from? I am the second eldest of 11. I have 7 strong sisters and a few brave brothers. We were raised in a very close-knit family. My grandmother was 6th of 10. So wow. We had lots of family involvement. And from that, we learned a lot of courage and willingness and gave ourselves a lot of permission to try new things because, you know, of course, in those days you could go out and just do exploring and you didn't have to worry about going down to the pond and finding polywogs and those kinds of things. But I was also placed almost by default in a position of leadership where I was responsible for a team of my siblings. And that's a great thing. And Grandma was a church lady, and so she also taught me a whole lot about exploring new channels, being involved in the community, getting out and about, and how to respect people and how to treat people fairly.
Just timeless messages right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Always know somebody's name, know how to spell it right, know how to thank them, and write mm-hmm. thank you letters profusely.
Wow. Bless her heart. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was where you started, and that obviously gave you a very good toehold in getting out there and dealing with people and meeting people. So you know, keep going. You got a great story. Keep going.
So my mom was from the Bronx and my dad was from upstate New York. So my mom was a dancer on Broadway, and so she kept a very artistic flavor alive in our families and taught us to take the road less trodden. And my father was a more conservative country gentleman, and he encouraged us to blend in. So we had 2 different messages that we were taught yeah. as we grew
really?
Up. And so we kind of took roads and blended in when it was kind of important, but we also took a lot of different roads. I've rolled a lot of dice. I've taken a lot of risks, and I have both of my parents to thank for that.
Wow, that's amazing. That is really gorgeous, that kind of balance. It doesn't sound like they would work together, but it sounds like you made it work.
We all made it work.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so So keep going then in your adult life.
So in my adult life, I went to school for behavioral science, and then I also played music through school. I played guitar and sang, and I wrote songs. And when I got out of school, and we were by that time in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, when I got out of school, I continued to perform because I was performing through school, and helped to found an organization called the Pennsylvania Association of Songwriters, Composers, and Lyricists. And we had a vision at that time, because there was funding available through the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, that we wanted to bring a public radio station, a community-based public radio station, to the Lehigh Valley that would be exclusively for songwriters, composers, and lyricists. It would have been the first of its kind in the country. So it was pretty ambitious. I can say that we were probably, you know, smoking a little pot at the time, you know, but we did some of the right, a lot of the right things,
right,
and learned how to write grants, and learned how to do some other things that would involve us in the community. We organized a lot of different community events, and I also was able to represent Pennsylvania when out in Hollywood there was a national songwriters call. All states were invited to send a representative to a national songwriters group being founded. And so there I went out and represented Pennsylvania and learned the even more importance for grant writing and having great boards of directors when you're serving the community in that way.
Sure.
So it was cool, and I was very young, and I was very impressionable, and met with a lot of really great people, didn't speak much, had my breath taken away from me probably more often than not, and had my knees knocked out from under me when I met certain icons, you know.
Sure.
But it was all good. It was all good. And I was able to, you know, take the information that I had. At that time, I was also working with the Association for the Blind in Northampton County, and we started a radio reading service for the print handicapped.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. We also started a low vision center that was located in the Lehigh Valley at that time. Prior to that, we had to go down to Philadelphia, which was, you know, the roads weren't as sophisticated in the early 80s. It was about an hour to an hour and a half ride.
Right.
with our blind clients. So, you know, you start young, you do different things, you find your place, and you keep moving.
Wow. And that's when you really find, I think when you really find where your true passions lie. Sometimes I've had interns work with me and they're thinking, well, I don't know if I want to do this. And I said, that's what it's about. Try different things, see where you fit, see what feels good, see where your passions are. You know, and go from there. And that sounds exactly like what you were doing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, I felt like my life was to be of service with the behavioral science background. I was very interested in human resources and in working with people. And, you know, the opportunities that arose for me led me back full circle to where it was I wanted to be and what I'm doing now.
Wow. Okay. That's a good jumping off place. Talk about what you're doing now.
So for the past 7 years, I have been a leadership coach working with individuals for their personal, professional, and community leadership. I really believe that anyone can be a leader. You do not have to have a title to be a leader. As a matter of fact, most individuals who have titles and flaunt them are the exact opposite of leaders. They are jerks.
Yeah, good call.
There, I gave a presentation yesterday to an esteemed group, and it was called Jerk Alert, you know, that there are many jerks that are thriving in workplaces that are crippling other individuals. They cripple them. And how can you support those individuals in becoming a better leader, or cut bait and get rid of them because they're not doing your business or your organization any benefit?
I think we've all worked with people like that. And I think it's interesting. I have had that in my own life where I get frustrated with management because the leaders, those who were leading me anyway, were not Well, yeah, jerks. Let's just, I'm gonna stay with the word jerk here.
it's a great word.
And I felt like, it really is, and it's just so all-encompassing. But I felt, I've got a lot of frustration that upper management sometimes wasn't, I felt like, dealing with those people, and it made me feel like they were more valued than I was, even though we were all in the same team. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's part of the difficulty. When I get called in to work with companies, so I might be working with a slew of department heads sitting around a table that are all pointing mm-hmm. their finger at each other. It's all your fault I'm not making bonus. It's all your fault. And they lose track of what their leadership role is as opposed to their management role. Mm-hmm. There's a plethora of leadership programs that are out there that really spend more time on management and how do you make your figures and how do you make your stats and instead of how do you empower people and how do you inspire them to do what it is that you want to accomplish as mm-hmm. opposed to browbeating them and being shameful about how you're doing it, how you are conducting yourself by being their supposed leader, which you're not leading them anywhere.
Right, right. Okay. Anything you want to talk about with things that you've written? I know you have a book out. You've done numerous articles.
Yeah, so I do. I'm a contributor for a couple of business magazines, and it's all based on leadership, and it's on principles of leadership. And I've gone to a couple of different coaching schools. The one school that I align myself with closely is the Institute for Productive Tension. And there we really pay attention to people's energy and how energy can align itself on a thermometer, if you want to, you know, speak about energy thermometers, where you have got no energy around a particular topic and you've got a lot of energy around a particular topic because you don't know, you're in stress, you're out of control, you have no idea what someone might be talking about, but you don't want to tell them that because if you tell them that, you could be fired. Right. But so how do you support individuals in becoming more zen-like or more in balance with themselves in terms of ability and challenge? And with the Institute for Productive Tension, we also have a program we call Pride-Based Leadership. How are you pridefully leading people as opposed to shamefully leading people? And I think that's really the crux of American society today. We forget that you can celebrate people, and this is part of my behavioral science coming in too, with behavior mod, rewarding people for what they're doing good. And not necessarily a monetary reward, you know, not necessarily over-rewarding, like the young kids today all get a trophy, even if you aren't the winner.
Right.
You know, so how far have we gotten astray from basic values of right and wrong, respecting the individual, respecting the human psyche. So a lot of my articles pertain to aspects of leadership in that regard. And then some also pertain to just your career. Where do you want to go with your career? And how are you moving yourself along in a way, again, where you celebrate people and you are respecting yourself and others? And then I've also written a book because I was involved with community organizations for so many years. I wrote a book called Engaging Your Board, It's Reining In. And it is a primer. It has got so many different tips in it on how to be a good board member and what should you do as a board member. Oftentimes people are recruited for community organizations and they want to be a board member because it sounds important. But along with the right of being called a board member comes the responsibilities. And so what are those responsibilities? What kind of questions might I be able to ask? What should I expect? Again, because people tend, you know, the fear of failure that we are raised with. I don't want to ask a question because I'll appear dumb. Ask all the questions that you possibly can, no matter what forum you're in. And be as disruptive as possible. That's a Madeleine Albright recommendation, by the way. Disrupt, interrupt, because if you don't, Nobody else is going to stand there for you. No one else is going to move yourself along. No one else is going to give you answers to the questions that are rolling around in your head.
Right. Right. Wow. And also, I would think it would empower others to say, hey, yeah, let me ask my questions. You know?
Yeah, sure. Sure. And so the book contains tips. There's affirmations in there on how you can become a better board member, because I'm a big believer in affirmations. And it just provides guidance. It's a launching point for you to begin a conversation, whether you're an existing board member or whether you are considering giving back in that way. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of lays out a good path for you, a good map for you to be the best board member that you can be.
Excellent. This, on a more personal note now, thinking about the things that you just said and the work that you're doing now, and then casting my mind back to where you started with all of this, it must be so personally just rewarding for you to see how far you've come and how all along the way you've never lost sight of your desire to give back and to help other people. Everything that you're doing is still very much focused on giving back and helping other people. That must just make you feel amazing to realize how you've been living your purpose.
Well, you know, it does. And again, I'll you know, give tribute to my parents. Mm-hmm. Both of them continued to be lifelong learners. Both of them changed their professions later in life. Mm-hmm. And both of them were really committed to doing the work that they did. So I was blessed in that regard. And certainly my grandmother... You know, my grandmother actually, I guess in the old days, you know, age was a huge factor. So she switched ages with my one uncle, which we didn't realize until after she passed away. She was actually 5 years older than we thought she was,
wow.
Which meant she didn't retire until she was 70. And she passed when she was 84, but we thought she was, you know, we thought she was 79. She continued to work as long as she could. My father retired when he was 79, and then he retired part time. My mom passed away at 73 from cancer, but at the age of 42, between my 10th and my 11th sibling, she took up scuba diving.
Wow!
I think to get away from all of us kids, but and then she became a great teacher. And so as she went around the world and discovered, you know, was on some of Jacques Cousteau's boats and did some other cool things, which I never did any of that, but she certainly did. She was an inspiration to us. So we had two inspirations. So the legacy that we're all very motivated. And the legacy that the Connolly family name brings to whatever community that we're in, we're hardworking. We believe that things can be better, again, no matter what our jobs are. And we're committed to our families. We're committed to the church, our religion, our faith, and we're committed to our communities.
Wow. That's amazing. And I'm even finding your family inspirational just from hearing about them through you. I got to tell you, I got to find somebody to swap ages with, because that's genius.
Well, you know, it was really funny because when we lived in New York, we were 45 miles out of the city. There were five of us when my father decided he wanted to go back to school. And so we learned early on that all mothers were 21 plus. All grandmothers were 21 plus, and all fathers were their actual age.
I love it.
So when we moved to Pennsylvania, they chose the Lehigh Valley for us because it was a combination of, you know, we could still get into the city for shows if my mom wanted to, but it was more country because it was a lot of Pennsylvania Dutch and the Amish were there. But when I was in sixth grade, we had to tell everybody our parents' ages. That was one of the exercises one day for whatever reason. And so I stood up proudly and said, my mother's 21 plus and my father's 40. And the teacher made me stand in the back of the room holding my books because I was fresh. But that was all that I knew.
I love that. I would love to have seen your mother's face when you told her that. It's hysterical. Oh my God. All right. So I'm 21 plus. I'm going to get that put on my driver's license because I love that. But it sounds like you really, like I said, I'm so impressed with your background and your family and the solid launching pad that they gave you and then what you have done with it. I just think that's so inspirational. Before we wrap up and I forget, where can we give us like a website? Where can people find out more about you?
Oh, you're so wonderful. So my website is www.bestprincipledsolutions.com. So it's BESTPRINCIPLED solutions, SOLUTIONS.com. I have a secondary website, I have a bunch of websites, but it's for the Greater Lehigh Valley Leadership Consortium. We have a full-day leadership program that we're putting on, and we're actually simulcasting it from Atlanta, Georgia on May 9th. And it's called LeaderCast. It's LeaderCast Greater Lehigh Valley's 9 inspirational speakers, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Andy Stanley, Malcolm Gladwell, and a whole bunch of other folks. Laura Bush is one of the interviews as well. And that will be held in the Lehigh Valley, www.glvlc.com. And between those two, you can navigate to where my other sites are as well.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions that I had for you. I just really wanted to give everybody a chance to meet you and hear your amazing story and be as blown away by it as I was. So thank you very much for joining us again, everyone. Katie Conley, you can find her at bestprincipledsolutions.com. Katie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Christy. It's my honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you, all of you, for joining us. And also, you didn't know that you're indulging me here as we learn to navigate our new audio software. So thank you for your patience there as well. Hopefully by next week, we will have all the glitches ironed out. Hey, I was a print journalist, okay? Give an old lady a break. Anyway, I'll be back here again next week with another fabulous guest, so I'll see you then. And in the meantime, you can find me at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and as always, ChristyTheWriter.com.